Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to Scale Riders Podcast. This is episode number 99, and I'm here with Masterpieces Model Car Club, and we're going to do like a roundabout. We're going to get everybody sitting down that's here present, but we're going to get things started off with Hector Lozano. Next week, all the guys are going to be getting ready to be going out to Japan, and Hector here, he built a new model car, a replica, the Galaxian, and we're just going to get into that and get things started. So what's up, Hector? How you doing?
Not much. How you guys doing tonight, man?
Pretty good. And, I'm excited for you guys. I wish I can go. I wish, you know, that I could be out there seeing people's reactions to the cars. I mean, I'm tripping out that it's done. Like, from when you started to where it's at now, it's just crazy just to see it. The development stages, but then now, and even the lights and everything. How long did that take you to do?
Oh, yeah. First of all, I'm excited to be here, you know, and doing the show for you guys, everybody here. And I'm also excited to go to Japan. You know, it's the first time going to Japan, you know, regarding the car. It actually took me about a good 8-9 months to build, you know, from beginning to end and so on. You know, it's still not finished 100%, but I'm pretty happy the way it's coming out, you know. So, but yeah, it took me a while to get it all together from, like you said, from the beginning to the end. And I'm just excited to take it to Japan. And my first time going to Japan for the show, for the Moon Eye show. And, you know, I'm just pumped up.
Yeah, it's crazy how, like, I mean, back in the day, you were building model cars. And you met Armando, you started meeting all these people. You were doing hoppers from what I heard back in the day.
Yeah, back in the day, I was doing little hoppers and so on, you know, but that didn't go too well for me, you know, because I competed against Armando, who's got a, you know, the masterpieces over here, but with the hoppers and everything. So that kind of like threw me for a loop and stopped building hoppers, but I started building replicas, and that's what got me more into it, you know. Mm-hmm. And I built a couple of legendary cars from, you know, different car clubs and so on, you know. But coming back to masterpieces, because I was out for a minute, I was out for a few years and so on, and I coming back and getting back into masterpieces, that got me all pumped up to build this car from Japan. And that's one of the reasons why we're going to Japan, so, you know, to go to the Moon Eye show and to see that car.
Yeah,
personally.
It's like, I know back then you had a big impact on the Lowrider Bicycle magazine when you came out with one of the replicas. I know you did the LA Women, but then there's this one here, the Gangster of Love. That's one that, like, I feel a lot of people had that spread that they cut out of the magazine, put it on the wall, and probably one that they studied, because just the artwork itself that's airbrushed on there and placed on there, it's very tiny. Yeah. That it makes me trip, like, how'd you do that?
Yeah, you know what? Looking at that car now, I'm surprised it's still, you know, intact and in one piece, and it looks great. It looks like I just built that car. But actually, the car's over 20 years old, and you know what? It took me a long time also to build it. And you know what? Speaking about that poster in the Lowrider magazine, in the Lowrider Bicycle magazine, I still have those magazines. I still have that poster and the article and everything. I don't get tired of looking at that car. You know, I look at it like amaze myself too. I'm thinking, wow, how did I do that? You know, it's a lot of time. You know, you just have to put yourself into it, you know. Mm-hmm. It's a hobby, but you have to love the hobby of it, you know.
Yeah.
And I can stay there for a whole weekend straight working on any car, you know.
Yeah.
That's the thriving that you know, gets me. That's a passion for it, you know. Same thing building the new car. The new car is also, you know, you have to be into it for you to be to come up with the that kind of detail and so on, you know. And that's basically what, you know, I recommend people, that you can't just get it out of the box and start putting it together. I mean, you got to put more time into it, you know. Like I said, this other car, Galaxian, took me, like, I would say probably a good, like I said, 8 or 9 months and so on, probably a little longer than that, you know. With the Gangster of Love that I built over 20 years ago, that took me about, I would say, over a year to build, you know.
Yeah.
And just on the painting salon. And then I redid the painting so many times and so on, and until I was happy with it, you know. You have to be perfection, you know. It's a little too big, it's out of scale and so on, and you know, you have to erase it and start all over again. So same thing with the new car that I build, you know, just to come back into masterpieces, like I said, you know. So I'm glad to be back and coming back with this new car, and that's, you know, pretty impressive myself, you know.
Yeah, when you decided that you were gonna build a model car coming back, what made you decide to go with the Galaxian? Were you looking online various pictures? I know that car stands out definitely when you see it. you know, it's totally something different, and I wish I could see it in person.
Right.
Have you seen it in person yet?
No, I have, no? Not, okay. I have not seen it in person. So that's why I'm excited to go to Japan and see the car. And I was telling Armando, in fact, you know what? The owner, which is, his name is Junichi, I believe. He said he's going to take his car to the car show. I'm like, nice. You know what? I want to get in that car. Yeah. I want to not drive it, but I want to sit in the car. You know, yeah. So that's one of my, you know, that I'm looking forward to going to Japan, though. So and you said earlier about how did I pick the car? You know, I was talking to my buddy Armando, and I told him, you know what? I consider myself still being in masterpieces, even though I haven't been building a car over 20 years. But he goes, you know what? You want to come back? That's cool. That's great. But you got to build a car that's going to be an iconic car also. You got to pick not just a car. You got to, you know, and he looked it up and everything. Goes, I think you should build this car from Japan.
You know?
And then, lo and behold, I build a car. And he goes, well, guess what? Now we're going to go to Japan and show the car too. So I'm like, sure, why not? You know? Yeah.
It's crazy because when he was telling me about it, he was saying like, oh, he's going to do this car, and he's showing me the pictures. You know, I'm like thinking, oh, yeah, he's got this because you've done Gangster Love, the L.A. Woman. And I remember even as a kid, like looking at the photos of L.A. Woman, even now, and then even seeing the model car itself. And I've always liked the little details that are in that car, just the things that were in that car that I was just tripping out. Like, I can't believe they have all this music stuff related to it. And look at it in miniature form, you know. So seeing the Galaxian, I had no doubt, like, it's going to be done. And then just, you know, typically I would think, let's say if I was going to do it, I would think, oh, yeah, I'm going to try to find that model kit or something, right? And just go from there and build off of that. But when I started to notice that you went beyond that, you started scratch building it, you know, and just moving forward with it. And I was like, what the heck?
Yeah, no, you know what? Even though I built a couple of different cars, you know, like I said, L.A. Woman and Gangster Love, to build this other car, I was pretty much intimidated too, though. You know, it's not just like, okay, I can build anything. No, you know, when he told me the car that I wanted, that I should build, I looked at it, I'm like, I don't think I can make that, man. I don't think I can build that car, you know. And I started getting other parts from another car and so on. I looked at it, I'm like, man, the tub is so tiny. I'm like, I don't think I'm going to have, you know, the time or the patience to build this car. But, you know, like I said, with time, you know, it came together, you know, little by little, and then that's why it took me so long to build it. And so, you know, but yeah, I'm pretty happy with the results. You know, so
while you were working on this and getting to those final stages of completing it, did it kind of take you back?
It took me back.
Like,
yeah,
you reminisced about, man, this feeling.
It did. Yeah, it totally did. But at the same time, you know what? I mean, you have to drop everything that you do, like. You can't go hanging out with your buddies in the week. Well, you could actually, but you know, if you want to work on your model, you know, and I'm fine staying, you know, all weekend long working on my model. Like I said, it's a passion for it, you know, but yeah, you know, it's just, it involves a lot of time in it, you know, but yeah, it brought me back, you know, like, man, I can do this. Like I said, oh, you know, it doesn't bother me. I can sit here all day long and then do it, you know, day after day, you know?
Yeah.
But at the end, like I said, once you start from scratch and everything, you see the results later on and like, oh, yeah, it's coming together. You get more pumped up, you know, so that's the way I feel about it.
So, like, you know, now obviously we have the internet and we have access to go online and look up Japan and look at photos and videos. But you're going to be there in a week.
I know.
Like, how, not even in a week, like I would say, what, like 4 days or so? How do you feel? Like everything's packed up? Like you're set or not yet?
No, I'm a last minute Louis, man. I'm gonna pack like the day up pretty much. You know? So I'm gonna make sure the model is packed up right, and then the rest of the stuff I'm just gonna throw it in a bag. You know?
Yeah.
Throw it in a suitcase. But yeah, no, I'm not packed for any of that. But I'm excited to go. You know, I can't wait to go out there and experience the, you know, their culture and so on, and go look at the car shows that they, you know, the little riders that they have over there. You know?
Yeah.
That's exciting to me.
Yeah. For my first time going. Couple years back, I remember there was something that Armando had told me that it still sticks to me today. And he was saying, like, when you go there, you're going to come back, like, taking a piece of Japan with you, because they have, like, some, like, the discipline and respect that they have, and just the goals and, like, the things that they do that they're so passionate about. You're going to see that. And, I mean, just by us roaming around Japan in the city, you know, you start to see just everything, how everything's organized, everything's aligned, symmetrical, all these like different things that anything that was created wasn't just created half-fast. It was like, like, you know, there was thought process behind it, and also using the right tools and whatnot. So it was something that, from seeing all that, just coming back, it's like it does change you somewhat. Like, it has an impact, definitely.
Well, yeah, I'm sure it does, you know, and then that's one of the reasons why I like to go, you know, different countries and so on, look at their culture and, you know, experience their whole culture theory and so on, and take a little bit from, you know, from what they do or anybody of us, you know, any other culture do, and imply it into your life and so on, you know. And yeah, of course, it's going to change, you know, how you live and how you carry yourself too, though. You know, you got to be humble. I already feel humble that, you know, people see me as a role model type deal. I don't see myself. In fact, I get inspired by other people too. You know, whether you're a beginner or an expert or not, I still get inspired by, you know, watching people build the cars and so on. And like that's inspiring to me, though. You know, and
yeah,
when people tell me that you know, they see me as a role model or I see other people's role models, that's pretty humbling to me, though. You know, so same thing with the culture, you know.
Yeah.
So you got to take a little bit of somebody's culture and then imply into your living and so on, you know? So yeah, I'd definitely be looking forward to that, though, you know?
No, yeah. Well, one thing that's so cool that I admire and that I miss about Japan is, like, from being there, anywhere you walk on any street, there's going to be a vending machine. And whether you want a beer or like a hot iced tea, like something warm, hey, you're covered. You're good. You're going to be good. Also, the Paradise Road, from what I heard, is you guys are going to make a trip there to check out the building.
Right.
And from seeing it on the camera, I mean, you can't see it right now, but in the back, you did some artwork and some in the front as well. Is it the front door, the roll-up doors?
The front door and also on the inside of the shop.
Okay. You know,
we're trying to replicate the whole theme, not just the car, but Armando replicated the whole building also, so we got to get all the details, as much detail as possible. And
yeah,
you said right earlier that on the internet we're able to get pictures from the building and so on, what's inside, and that's how we were able to get the artwork for it. And I mean, I airbrush, so Armando says you got to come out here and, you know, do a little bit of airbrushing.
Yeah,
you know?
It looks so cool.
It looks like it's spray painted. You know, it looks just like the real building. You know, so
yeah,
that's the thing that I like to enjoy and so on, you know, show a little bit of my artwork and so on, you know. So yeah, that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, it was funny, like some months back I remember telling Armando, hey, you know, you could just go on Google Maps, like Japan, and pull up that building and we could go around it, like you could really see the building for itself. But I think it was like an old photo of the building, so there's certain things that weren't on it. And Armando's like, oh, cool, that is a building, but it's not like that no more.
Right,
like I've seen newer pictures, it's not like that. And then later he started to show me the photos. I was like, oh man, it is totally different.
Right.
So we started to later, you know, I'm seeing this. He shows me like a video where you're like airbrushing it. And I was just like, man, you guys are going all out. That's so dope.
Right. You know, that's part of being masterpieces, though, you know? So, I mean, you got to go out and just create it and make it. So it's just a total masterpiece, you know, whether it's a model car or a building, you got to go all out and, you know, put as much as detail as you can. And if, especially if you're going to do a replica, you know what I'm saying? If you're going to replicate a building, of course, you want everything that's on the building also, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, like I said, we got as much detail as we could on this one building, though. So, yeah.
Yeah. One thing that I really like on the Galaxian is that the tail light. How it just, like, it moves, like, it bounces.
Yeah.
That's so cool. I like that.
That's also in the real car. As a matter of fact, speaking of the car, you know, I have a total of, I would say, probably over 25 LED lights on that car.
Dang.
You know, so, yeah. Yeah, 25 LED lights on that car. And most of the parts are, like I said before, they're scratch made. You know, I made them out of, you know, aluminum, you know, CNC and so on with the Dremel and, but they're tiny little parts, so yeah, they're all one of a kind, you know, so you can't just go and order them online or anything like that, you know, so they're all aluminum one piece, so yeah, a lot of time on that thing.
People are out there are going to just trip out because it's well known in Japan and very famous, especially in that scene there for Moon Eyes.
Right. You know what, I've been looking at, I followed the guy on Instagram and so on, and you know, he posts a lot of pictures of his shop and you know, cars around his shop, and I look at the picture, and then now that we have the building made, that Armando made also, and I put the car right next to it, and they take the same picture. You can't tell the difference. I'm like, is that the real car? Is it the real shop? Is it, what is it? You know,
it looks
badass. You know, I like that.
That's cool. So, when you come back, any plans? Have you already decided what's the next project, or is it too soon?
No, it's not too soon. I already have a couple of projects in mind, though, you know, but the thing is that it's just a lot of time, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You gotta, after this collection, if it's all done and complete and come back from Japan, I'm gonna take a little break, but not a permanent break, you know, yeah. not like before, but yeah, but I already have some couple of other projects in mind.
Nice.
You know, so yeah.
That's cool. Are you excited about hitting up like the hobby stores out there?
Yeah, I'm excited to go out there, do a little bit of shopping over there, you know? Yeah. I heard that up there they have the mega, you know, hobby stores and so on.
The Toys R Us.
Exactly. It's Toys R Us for adults, you know, that's cool. So I already saved some money just for that, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So yeah. Gotta come back with a bunch of goodies.
Nah, yeah, you gotta bring like an extra briefcase.
Oh, I already did.
Load it up.
I'm gonna give me a low down, you know, because you gotta take an extra one for sure.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Nah, that's cool. I hope you enjoy everything out there. Definitely. I mean, the food is great. The ramen, everything.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to be picking out for sure.
No, that's dope.
Enjoy the culture.
Dude, now you're going to love it, man. It's going to be like so cool. I hope you come back though with the car. What if the owner's like, yo, I'll make you an offer, you know? So.
If the price is right, anything's for sale, man. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So, yeah. Even though it's a little model, but you gotta break it down in a sense of, you know, how much time did you really put into it and on the detail, and it's craftsmanship. It's a piece of art. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, even if it was a painting, same thing, you know, it's an art, you know, so yeah, the price is right, but yeah. Most likely I won't, you know.
It's crazy because like, it is a one of a kind. Someone could tell you, make me another one and you can do it, but it's just like, it's not the same.
It's not the same, yeah.
Yeah, it's not going to be the same. Like, I don't know. It's like you just fell in love with the first, you do it, and then you're looking for another car to fall in love with to create.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Like you said, it's your car, and realistically, I don't think you're gonna sell your car. You know, mm-hmm. Especially not something that you build. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, a regular car, yeah, but it's something that you build. Especially my model. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'd rather donate it, you know, instead of, you know, getting money for it. Because realistically, you can't really put a price on it, you know?
Yeah, that's tough.
You know?
It's crazy how people are like, hey, I'll give you $100.
Yeah, come on. I mean, I know it's a model, but $100? No, dude, you know?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, no, like I said, if you're going to give me $100, I'd rather donate it. They're like, no, I'm good, you know?
Yeah. So, no, that's cool.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hey, Hector, it was a pleasure talking to you. If you guys want to look him up. He's going to be going to Japan. I hope you post more like pictures about Japan and whatnot, but you could go on Instagram. Sure. It's @OGMasterpieces. There will be a link in the description, but definitely make sure you check them out on there and your stories as well, you know?
For sure. Yeah. We'll be definitely putting more pictures up there on the Instagram though. So yeah, hit me up.
Yeah. Want to see some behind the scenes.
Exactly.
Right there.
Cool.
Sweet. Well, thanks, Hector.
All right, brother. Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
No problem.
So the next guest that we're going to be having on is going to be Luis. You guys know him on Instagram, LXC Scale Models. Let's get him right up. Dang. So Japan, that's coming up. Luis ain't going to Japan, though, but he is sending out a car to Japan. What's up, Luis? Here.
What's up, man?
Dang, what up, man? How you doing?
Good, and you?
Good, pretty good. You made the trip, 5-hour drive.
Yeah.
From up north to Southern California to bring down your model car. How was that journey?
The drive was pretty good. Normally we leave from North California at around 3 a.m, but this time we decided to come out a bit later, like around 8 or 9, and then we got here around 2. But the drive was calm. It wasn't as tiring, I guess, because we got to sleep in a bit more.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that came in handy.
That's cool, man. You've been on the podcast a couple of times, but now this is like video. We're in person now. It's not over the phone. How does that feel? Is it like kind of different or?
It's a bit nerve-wracking with the cameras all around.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think we're doing fine.
Nah, that's cool, man.
Yeah.
So tell us about the model car that you brought out. This is also a car from Japan.
Yeah, so the car I did is a 1964 Impala from Japan. I think it's from the car club called Perfect Image. But it's a body dropped car. It's slammed. And it's like a dark purple. But it's kind of a simple build, but I kind of chose it because it kind of represents a bit of my style as well.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's
the 64 is like one of your favorite cars, right?
Yeah, it's one of my favorite cars. I guess that's one of the reasons as well why I chose it.
Yeah, well, while you were when you picked that car, one of the things that stood out to me right away while you started working on it was when you started to add the trim.
Oh yeah.
With the styrene, and I was like, just seeing you like being very careful with it and just placing it and just looking very clean, I was like, man, like I want to do my like a 64 just like that.
Yeah, so I started off with the Super Sport body, so I had to sand off all the Super Sport moldings and all that stuff, and I had to go to the hobby store and find the perfect trim I was gonna be using. So I was just being based off of photos from Google.
Mm-hmm.
So I found the perfect size I was going to end up using. So I just started gluing the strips onto the body. And then I was using tape to kind of keep it straight on the body. But then one of the harder parts was the little curve mm-hmm. at the back of the car.
Yeah,
I had to kind of use a piece of paper. And then I kind of use a pencil and then just kind of try to trace the body lines. And then I cut that out. And then I just kind of made a stencil out of that.
Okay.
And then I used a blow dryer just kind of heat up the styrene and then shape it.
Nice.
So, yeah. To get the curve.
Yeah, because that bent right there, you could tell, like, you know, if you don't do it careful, it's going to break.
Yeah.
Going around that area.
It did break, actually.
Yeah.
Because I was using the Tamiya the glue,
mm-hmm.
and that kind of softens up the styrene.
So. Oh, the thin?
Yeah.
One, okay.
Yeah, so that it did kind of break, but I kind of just filled it in with CA glue.
Yeah, what's one thing that you encountered that was different on the body? Because obviously it's really low. Was there like modifications you had to do to lower it even lower?
Yeah, so I had to sand off, obviously, the bottom of the car. At first, I didn't even know the car was slammed or modified in that way. But I also had to modify the door panels.
Mm-hmm.
I had to sand them down from the bottom. And then just do some modifications to the rear seat as well. But other than that, it was just the body and the rear tubs and the seats and the door panels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how'd you go about the paint? How was... like, where'd you get the paint from and that process?
The paint, I got it from Armando Flores. He had it mixed for me in some body shop out here. But then once I got that from him, I just went ahead and started shooting it at home.
Yeah, what airbrush you end up using?
I ended up using one of my newest airbrush. I think it's the Iwata. It's a THP. I can't remember.
Oh, the trigger?
The one with the trigger.
How'd you like that?
It was pretty good, actually. I kind of felt like I needed more air pressure for some reason.
Oh, okay.
But other than that, I like the fence ring because you get easy coverage.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was a fun airbrush to use on that car.
Yeah, it would have probably took longer with like the HPCS.
Yeah.
Just like the little ball just like sliding back and forth.
Yeah. And then you probably get tiger stripes easier.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Was the paint a little tricky when you were like shooting it? Or was it just kind of easy when you started to shoot the... like all the sides and the top?
It was kind of easy, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it wasn't. I didn't really have any issues with it, actually.
Yeah,
no issues. No,
that's cool. When did you ever think like maybe I'll mail this car over here? You were like, nah, I want to bring it in person.
Actually, this morning.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was actually just kind of like
regretting it.
Yeah, I was just like, I'm just probably just gonna mail it out.
Yeah.
I was kind of regretting the trip.
Halfway point.
Yeah, I was in the shower. I was like, maybe I would just ship it out.
Yeah, yeah.
But I ended up coming out here with my brother.
Mm-hmm.
We made the drive, and I'm actually glad I made the drive.
Yeah,
the overall experience.
It's cool. Like, just hanging out. I mean, it's 5 hours away, but still, like, I feel like if you come out here more often, it's going to feel like nothing. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Like, it's not even going to feel like, oh, that's, like, far. Next thing you know, you're just going to be like, man, I'm going to go by myself.
Yeah.
I'm going to head out there.
Yeah.
So that's tight. I mean, where's your brother? He just jammed. He's not even here.
I think he's on his way, actually.
All right. Yeah. I was like thinking, like, man, but that's all good. You know, sooner or later, you're going to go back home. You guys are going to go back home. You know, tomorrow's going to be another day, and you're just going to be, like, tripping out and thinking, like, man, I was over there, you know?
Yeah.
And you're going to feel good. Like, I'm glad that I went. You're going to see all the guys getting ready. They're going to be out in Japan. And I bet you anything, when you see your car out there in photos, you're going to want to go. Like, yeah. I know you wanted to go.
Yeah.
But, you know, everyone has different circumstances why they can't go or whatever. Maybe it's not the timing right now for you, mm-hmm. but maybe next year is.
Yeah. Hopefully next year, if you guys end up going again, I'll probably try to make the trip out there. But if not, there's always a chance to go out there.
Yeah. No, definitely. Because I'm sure a lot of people are going to trip out. I mean, even the owner, I bet, from the real car sees yeah. it when you post it on Instagram.
Yeah, he follows me and he's seen the car. I don't know if he's seen the finished product, but I'm pretty sure he's seen it. Yeah.
Yeah. Was there any anything, any issues or anything you ran into that you had to overcome?
I can't think of anything right now. Maybe just, it was kind of complicated kind of having all the suspension in there and then having the dad slammed. I can't think of any like real issues I was having that I was thinking like, oh, I'm not going to make the deadline now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But definitely like something you learned from.
Yeah.
On that build and another car under your belt, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's dope. That's cool. What plans do you have now for a new project you're working on?
I think every modeler has like a little stash of projects. Mm-hmm. I have a few. I have to get back on. I have the Cadillac. That's kind of gonna be my next focus. But I also have the Black 64 I'm working on. That one's almost finished. I just need to finish painting some parts, and I think that's gonna be the next focus.
Yeah. Did you ever manage to get more photos? Because I remember you were telling me one time, like, man, I can't get any photos of this car.
Yeah,
the replica.
Yeah, the paint's all finished. I just need to do some touch-ups and clear some spots. But I was able to get some pictures from the owner and some other guys that know the car as well.
Mm-hmm.
So they sent those photos to me, and I just put them to use.
That's cool. What do you got going on with your YouTube channel?
Oh, yeah. So my YouTube channel, I recently I haven't really posted lately because I'm doing school, but it's LXC Skill Cars. Just kind of trying to post my projects on there, but nothing much going on right now.
Yeah, I mean, you obviously were busy. It's tough because I know you want to document what you're doing and you want to show this whole process, talk about it.
Yeah.
But it's just one of them things that you're like, man, I don't have time. I got this deadline I got to do. So it's really a hard balance to try to do both.
Yeah, there was times where I wanted to film myself like painting the car. And I managed to get some footage, but it wasn't the best footage because I wasn't using the right equipment. Mm-hmm. But I was like, I don't have that much time to actually take the time to set up the camera and then paint the car. I just want to get to it right away, you know?
No, yeah. How was like clearing it, that process when you were clearing the car?
Clearing it was kind of scary because I'm always afraid of having like some type of reaction.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up using my LPH-80 for my Iwata, and overall I had a good result, but I have some little issues I want to fix, but mm-hmm. I'll do that once it comes back from Japan.
Yeah. I remember you were sending me like photos of like clear, you were going out buying catalysts and all this stuff, and I was like, dang, he's going in.
Yeah, right? Yeah, because I wasn't going to have any time to order it from Coast Airbrush or any online website.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember there were some stores out there in where I live, so I decided to make the trip one day after school. And I just bought the catalyst to clear, and I went home and started mixing it.
Yeah, that's cool, man.
Yeah.
So you did like two coats?
I think I did three coats.
Oh, okay.
Three coats, yeah.
Man, that's cool. Yeah, I love clear coating. I started using the LPH-80,
yeah.
like recently. But it's like, it's still, I feel like it's like a learning thing. Like I haven't really gotten it down, but it's just like, I feel like every time I use it, the settings are always being changed. Like I'm trying to calibrate it or figure it out. Did you have any trouble doing that? Like figuring out how big to have the fan and like your PSI pressure and all that?
Yeah, so before I started actually shooting the car, I laid out like a piece of masking paper, and then I did some test shots on that. But I kind of just had my fan spray open up all the way, and then the trigger kind of like halfway to not get enough material on there to not have any run issues.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I was running at like 20 PSI, I think.
Okay.
But yeah, it was kind of confusing at first because I wasn't sure if I was shooting enough material on there, if I needed to cut down the material. So it's always like a little nerve-wracking when you're doing that.
Yeah.
For me, at least.
Yeah, were you relieved once it was done, like the next day, or once you saw it dry, you were like, yes, it's
yeah. I just wanted it to dry to start putting it together and putting the wheels, taking photos and all that. Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah, I always notice like you always like take your photos and they look really nice. Is your 59 also going to Japan or is that staying here?
No, I think that's gonna stay here. Yeah. I just brought it just to have it on the table.
Yeah. That's dope. As a prop, then it's gonna. I heard it's not going back up north. No, I'm playing. It's gonna stay here. No, that's cool. Man, well, hey, I'm glad that you came out, that you're out here, that you did the podcast with us. Anything you want to say to listeners out there?
Just keep on building, man. You get better with each build you make, and you're always learning something new.
Yeah, and I mean, you have a new Instagram page because you know you're always on the LXC one, but then you got another one.
Yeah, so I have my personal one, LXC_73. But then I also have the page one that kind of like represents the YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Which is LXC Scale Cars. And I kind of just post more model cars than that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more of a project page for that.
Yeah. Now I could see a lot of people, the response when you post photos are very motivating.
Yeah.
When you see the stuff. So that's cool that you have that. Like you separate your personal to this more like your artistry page, I would say.
Yeah, that way I'm not annoying the people on my personal one.
You're not putting a burrito. Bam.
Yeah.
Right now.
There you go. Yeah.
Damn, that's cool, man. Well, hey, it was good to see you, Luis. I hope you have a safe drive back home.
Yeah, for sure, man. Thanks for having us on the podcast once again. And
yeah, man. Well, you know, this is cool. Finally in person. So,
yeah.
Obviously, hopefully we do another one. Maybe when I go up north or something.
Yeah, for sure, man.
Link up.
For the NL West.
Ew, that's coming up.
Yeah.
That's not too far away.
Yeah.
Sweet, man. And so we're going to move on to the next guest here. His name is Juan Amezcua from Van Nuys. And Juan is going to go to Japan. He's going to be out there along with the guys making his road trip. This is like his second time going out to Japan. Man, I'm so jealous. I wish I could be going out there. So Juan, how you doing, man?
Good
yeah.
To be here.
Yeah, man. Last time when we were when I was in Japan with you,
yeah,
I mean we roomed together. You could say we were like roommates for a week.
Mm-hmm.
It was good times. And one of the dopest things that I remember from that hotel was the breakfast. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. Good breakfast.
Yeah, hell yeah. That was every day breakfast. And then I remember on the last day, we were like
we were slaved.
We were like, yo, we're going to, dude, it's going to be so dope. We're going to go in there. We're going to get all this stuff because we were getting like all this bread and all this stuff. But what did we do? The night before, we came home. I mean, We came to the spot. We started looking at all the stuff we bought. And we started, like, just cramming everything in there. We stayed up late talking. And next thing you know, we, like, just slept. And we woke up and we were late. We didn't even make it to the thing.
It was over.
It was done. That's crazy. But anyway, how do you feel about Japan that it's right around the corner?
I'm anxious and excited to be able to go again.
Oh, man. That's going to be...
Yeah, the whole different experience from the first time we went.
Yeah. For sure, some new stuff, but at the same time, I feel like you're gonna feel like I've been here before. You know, it's like any city you've visited here in Southern California or whatever state, anywhere you've been in, you're gonna feel like, man, I've been here before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not gonna get lost. Remember those adventures we had in the trains trying to find a spot? But we got lucky. We would meet people that would be like, "Yo, where you guys trying to go?" All right, like, you know, we go through here, or they would like tag along with us and then be like, yeah, this is like your exit right here. So I really like that about the people in Japan, that they were very polite and made sure that we weren't
By the fourth lost. Day we were familiar in how to get around, so it was easier by the fourth day.
It was fun. What was your impression about the hobby stores when you first walked in and you seen the walls and everything?
Like a kid in a candy store.
Yeah.
Looking, see what to buy, and like, wow.
It's almost like...
Unbelievable.
Like, you don't even care how much you're going to spend, how you're just grabbing stuff.
Yeah.
Putting it in that cart and everything. And
run out of cash, use the plastic.
Yeah, heck yeah. And then they're always like, if you use your passport, we'll give you a discount. And then you say, all right, cool, we're going to do the discount. But then they're like, oh, wait, we can't charge you here. We got to go over there. Mm-hmm. And then they take forever to charge you. And then when they charge you, they give you this long receipt. And then they fold it up. And then they staple it onto your passport. So you're like, oh, damn, I got snagged. Like, I'm going to get hit at the airport or something.
I think I still have mine stapled to my passport.
Oh, I took mine off. I wanted to take it off, but I was paranoid. I was thinking, like, what if somehow they know? They saw me in the camera. And they're just like, sir, you can't board that plane. You know, you got to pay some taxes because you didn't pay taxes here. Yeah. You got that discount. Nah. So, man, that's cool. So, what are you gonna be taking to Japan, Juan?
I'm gonna be taking two. I'm trying to do a third one, but I don't know if the third one will make it. But I'm taking Summer Madness, which is a 65 Impala.
Yeah.
Now, originally was built here in the Valley in the early 80s. And that was when Japan first started buying the cars from out here from California, taking to Japan. That was one of the first cars that actually got bought and taken to Japan.
Dang.
So that's one.
There's some history there.
Yeah, and that car, I remember that car when I was a little kid, a teenager.
Mm-hmm, it stood out.
So it's just
that's cool.
That car. And then I'm taking one that I just built.
Mm-hmm.
Still needs to be cleared. If I just finished a paint job. Couple days
that's
ago.
That's the 66. Yes.
Believe it or not, that one, I've been working on that one, believe it or not, 4 or 5 years. About 5 years.
It's been a long time because I still remember around the time when I met you and just seeing like you would bring it out at some of the times we hung out that you were working on it, laying the tape lines. I remember even when you went out to Ventura and we went to the Ventura Nationals and it was your birthday.
Yes.
And we were hanging out in my room and then you brought that out just to like work on it.
Mm-hmm.
To see that till where it's at now. It's crazy when you say how many years it took you, right?
It took me that long only because I needed to be in the right state of mind to do an old school paint job. I didn't want to do what everybody's the current paint jobs. It had to be an old school paint job.
Yeah.
So I looked at a lot of pictures and magazines just to get ideas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just time flies, man. And it's crazy because when it's like for the time it takes and then all of a sudden it's done. And then I realize, wow, like it almost feels like it was like last month or something. But nah, it has been a minute. But that's cool. What was the inspiration behind that, that paint job? I know you wanted to do something different. Was there something that inspired you to go with like those colors or even just to do something wild with the patterns?
Well, that one, when I started it, I actually started this well-known guy from Majestic, the founder of Majestics, which Little John, part of his paint job on his 66 Caprice is on that car. And then I couldn't find no other pictures for the roof and certain parts of the car, so I just did my own theme on the rest of the car.
Yeah.
And actually, I like how it came out. And Armando gave me a few ideas, which was added to the car also.
Nice.
And actually, that one, I did take it to Japan when we went the first time. It was just in the background, just the body.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm anxious to clear it, hopefully, tomorrow.
Yeah.
And
the cool thing is you have time. I mean, you know, tomorrow, spray it. You let it dry, chill. And then, you know, whatever you need that needs to be done next, if you need to buff it already, or re-clear, whatever, you know, you still got some days to get it ready, packaged up and head on out to Japan.
The hard part's already done.
Yeah, no, definitely. And you said there was a potential third car.
Yeah. Cisco kid, the Monte Carlo.
Okay.
So I'm trying to paint that one, at least probably just a base on it and take it that way. But I'll probably start painting that tomorrow. I already have some of the paint, but it's not completely done yet.
Yeah.
So I'll probably work on that one tomorrow also, and then hopefully have it done if I could clear both of them tomorrow.
Man, that's cool. Are you bringing out your cameras as well to photograph
I'm always having my cameras with me, especially in Japan. I need to take a lot of pictures.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be taking my digital camera and my 35mm.
Yeah. Any updates on magazines or anything from like Lloyd or in Japan that you want to, any heads up or?
Magazine I want to bring back.
Because I know last time we were out there, you were like on a hunt. We were trying to see if we would come across anything and we didn't. But I know that once in a while, you know, you come across something.
I'll probably take some magazines, maybe a few Lloyd or magazines that I have doubles or triples or four or five of the same.
Ten of?
Nah. Possibly one or two out of five. Yeah. Ten of.
Damn.
Probably give us a few magazines.
Yeah. That's good. I like that you did that. I didn't even know you were doing that till you busted them out, these like old school magazines from the 80s. You were just giving them, you know, one to each person, and they were like super appreciative of them because they were like, man, this is like gold. Like, never seen this.
Especially like the bicycle magazines.
Mm-hmm.
I had doubles of a lot of them. So I went through all my bicycle magazines last year, and whatever had doubles of, just separated them and just took them over and gave them to the guys that were entering the car models. I gave them, I think, two each.
Yeah, that's cool. Do you know if the next movie is going to be there? Like his car again, the 62?
I would imagine he probably is. And if he did more changes on it, he probably will take it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also going to be taking a couple of Hot Wheels. I did do next movie in a Hot Wheel.
Oh, yes. I seen that one.
That's going to be going with me and show it to the owner.
Uh-huh.
And see what he thinks.
Yeah. See how big his wallet is.
I'm anxious to see his reaction. He's seen already pictures of it on Instagram, but to see it in person, that's my see what he thinks of it.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. Are you do you have a list of things? If I was going, I would have this like crazy list of all these things I want to buy. You know, like Q-tips, shampoo. No, I'm joking. Like, is there something that you want to export out there over here?
Probably just the tools for the car models.
Yeah.
All the sandpapers that you, the foam ones and whatever else. I could
all that
see
stuff
when I get there.
Hell yeah.
But when I get there, I'll be like blind, just like.
Yeah, you get it's like you get like shell shocked. Like, it's like you're walking and then boom, you get side blind and then you're like, whoa, what the hell? Like, you don't even know what. Because I remember when we were there, we were talking to Jeffries and I was like, dude, what glue should I get? And he's just like, I don't know. There's just too many glues. Like, it's like they're all competing with each other, you know? And then he'll be like, oh, yeah, wait, this one's a good one. This is a good one. What about these, though? He's like, I never tried those.
Yeah.
So it's almost like you're just like, fuck it. I'll grab whatever.
Yeah, because I'm planning on buying tools and sanding paper and stuff that we don't find out here, probably.
Yeah.
Nah, model kits, I'm not buying any model because I have way too many model kits.
Yeah, nah. I remember when at the Moon Eye show, there was like some vendors and they were selling like some rare kits, some Impalas, like 69s and other years. And they were asking for a lot of money for those kits.
Yeah, they price range, they go up. They're expensive.
And I was like, dang, imagine you buy it, you bring it back and it's all crushed. It's all brittle. And you're like, what happened? Yeah. So, right next to you, we have the jacket. This is the one you guys are going to be rocking out there?
Yes. We just got them done for this particular show.
That's cool. So I like the color.
Really nice. Something different.
Yeah. Keep you warm, too.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, but I don't know if you're going to need it, though. This guy's crazy. When we were in Japan, it was, like, cold. Like, super. I was always cold. And Juan was just, like, nothing with the t-shirt. Like,
pretty much the whole trip.
The whole time. And I was always, like, telling him, dude, you're not cold. I was just, like, whining to him, complaining to him. Like, man, I'm cold. And this was like, really? Like, all, like, nothing's all windy.
I went and took a heavy jacket because they told me to bring a good jacket can be cold. Like,
yeah.
I only wore it from the time we got out of the plane to we went outside to waiting for the subway. After that, I took it off and never put it back on.
Dang. Put that thing away.
I shouldn't have even took it.
I know. I remember, that last day packing up and being, like, man, I can't fit everything in here. I need to, like, ditch clothes.
Yeah.
Like, I was just already thinking, like, what I need to sacrifice, you know, put all this stuff in a bag and just throw it in the trash and get out of here. I just remembered. Remember when we hit up the 7-Eleven?
Mm-hmm.
And they had all that food in there? I know 7-Elevens out here get, like, a bad name or rap or whatever, but out there, it's, like, a whole different thing. Those little rice cakes.
It's like you're walking into a market. It's all clean and
it is
organized. And
yeah. There's all this sushi. There's all this, like, just stuff, man. It's a trip. It's crazy. How long is the trip going to be?
I believe we're going for 10 days.
10 days, man. And then besides the Moon Eye show, there's another show you guys are going to attend, right?
Yes, a new magazine that came out. I think it's called The Low Show, something like that. I'm sorry if I got it wrong. And they're going to be doing a show the weekend before. Mm-hmm. Nice. And then we're planning on attending that one.
Nice. Man, it's going to be exciting. Back to back, two shows, not just one.
Yes. That's why I'm actually anxious because we're excited to go. Because I'm sure there's going to be a lot more lowriders probably mm-hmm. at the first show. Yeah. It's a lowrider theme or show.
Mm-hmm.
Compare the Moon Ice more customs and Rat Rod style, but I actually enjoy both shows.
Yeah, did you manage to save up enough money for both these events? Because I know when we go to shows, we're like, oh, I want to get that shirt. I want to get this. I want to get that.
Hopefully I did. Not.
Work some. Well, I know from you were telling me all like prior to this that you were doing like overtime and you're working a lot.
I was taking advantage of any overtime they were giving me at work.
Pretty much. That's good.
A couple straight weekends, two back-to-back weekends.
Yeah.
So,
man, that's awesome. That's so rad, man. So the 66, can't wait to see that there at Moon Ice.
That one's going to be...
Now, this time, I hope you don't put it in the back. I hope you have it like a little bit
my main,
more in the front.
That one in the 65, the Summer Man is our main card.
Yeah.
I'm going to be showing, so I'm anxious to clear it. Mainly clear mm-hmm. it to see all the work, see all the colors popping, the fades that I did on it and everything.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. Man, I hope you guys have a great trip out there. Obviously, if you go to the hobby stores, get... your hands on everything
that
you
want to get. Papers, bring back a lot of
yeah, stuff. Bring all that stuff back. Definitely for sure. Where can people follow you at on your Instagram so they could keep up with you, Juan?
It's Chevyman1968.
Dope. Hell yeah. Well, hey, Juan, it was awesome talking to you.
Likewise.
Heck yeah, man. I hope you have a good time. I'm glad that we're hanging out. We're doing the podcast, you know, before you guys take off because I know, you know, once... we go back into the work week, everybody's yeah. busy doing their thing, and then we're not going to see each other. And next you know, you guys are on a plane to Japan.
Yes.
So have some fun out there, man.
I sure definitely will.
Yeah, hell yeah. And so that was Juan Amezcua. The next guest is Ivan on Instagram. Little Shop of Models. Yeah. What's up, Ivan?
What's up, Andrew?
Dang, what's up? Woo! Oh, have a seat.
God, should I put these on? I got a big-ass head, so...
Nah, you got it. There we go. They fit. What's up, it?
That sounds way different.
So, obviously, we're not going to Japan, dang. We're staying, but you did create a car to make its way to Japan.
Right.
Which car is that? I can see it from here.
That purple 50 Chevy.
All right. That purple one right there. Yeah. How long did it take you to make that one?
We actually started in January, I think. Started building it. That was before the whole trip that they're going to Japan and stuff.
Yeah. You just kind of just started like working on it.
Yeah. Well, I saw it on my Instagram. And mm-hmm. I just fell in love with the truck. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to build it because I had the kit in my closet.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to build this truck real quick.
It's nice. I like the color. What kind of paint did you go with?
House of Color.
The clear as well. House of Color or?
No, the clear is Tamiya.
Okay, because yeah. It's more like a matte finish.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Man, that's cool. I really like that. And then for the bed, it's like cut out and you can see everything.
Yeah, just like the real truck
in there, dude. I don't think I've ever seen the real truck.
You
on Instagram,
yeah,
no.
Yeah, you need to check it out.
I need to see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you need to put me on game on that one. Because, yeah. I seen you working on it and showing photos of it. And I was always like, man, that's crazy. Like, I really love the way that looks. It looks so real. Yeah. You know, the whole setup in the back. I was like tripping out on that. But now you're telling me this is like a real, now I want to see the real truck.
Yeah, well, it's on my Instagram. So, I mean, you could go in there and check it out. Like, I have pictures of it. Like, well, there's not really no pictures of the truck, like the actual inside of the bed
mm-hmm.
on my Instagram, but the owner DM'd me like all the details to the truck. So that's how I built off of the pictures that he sent me, you know?
That's awesome that he reached out and was able to do that there.
He was super excited when I was building it.
He's like, when is it done? Here's my address.
Yeah, a year later.
Yeah. send it through.
Yeah.
Does he still follow you? Or
yeah.
You guys still get in touch?
Actually, the truck got sold.
Oh, like, no
he
way.
He sold the truck. Yeah, it was for sale.
Damn, did he tell that guy to start following you?
Nah, I'm the guy who bought it? Yeah, I don't even know who bought it.
Yeah. Was it from out here in California?
No, the truck, in Japan.
Oh, he's out there.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Damn, that's so cool, man. Was there anything that you ran into, like any problems or anything during the process of that build?
No, not really. I mean, it's pretty simple. I mean, it's not a shiny paint job. It's not a, like, you know, chrome undercarriage or nothing really fancy about it. It's, yeah, like a, it's like a daily driver.
Mm-hmm.
So he drives, even on his Instagram, you see it that he drives it.
Yeah.
You know, in the storyline, he drives it, you know?
From looking at the clear, the matte finish, I've never done a matte finish on a model car. But it's something I would like to do. What's the process like compared to when you're shooting something that you want that gloss finish? Like with that, do you need a lot of coats of clear on it or not really?
I did three. Same thing as clear.
Yeah.
Like when you're doing a shiny paint job. I mean, I do more than three coats of clear when I do shiny paint jobs.
Mm-hmm.
I do 5-6.
Dang.
But yeah, with like this, I just did three coats and that was it.
Yeah. And obviously, I mean, it looks wet, but then... Once it cures, it starts drying out.
Right. Actually, it dries out like that.
Oh, okay.
Like within like 15, 20 minutes, it's flat.
Man, that's cool. Right there. And what city are you currently residing in right now? Secret location?
No, Lancaster.
Okay, so out in Lancaster, do you know any model builders out there or no?
I think there's a couple of guys from down to scale that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know their names. I know it's a dad and a son.
Okay.
Yeah.
The reason why I bring it up is because, like, while you're out there, like...
Alvin, but he's in Bakersfield.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. How far is that to you?
It's about hour 30.
Okay. That's kind of far. Nah. Yeah, well, is this farther, though?
No.
Okay.
No.
Because I was going to say, like, just you being in your... It almost feels like on your own, let's say... In your element, is it easier for you to like concentrate and get your work done with the model cars, or do you feel like now I gotta like somehow be closer to people to be able to do this stuff?
It goes both ways.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like I mean, once in a while, you want to get that inspiration, right?
Yeah,
like kicking in.
How we're doing right here.
Yeah.
But then when I'm alone, I mean, I just do whatever I want.
Yeah.
Work on whatever I want, whenever I want.
You yeah. Know? You know what I was, you got me thinking last time we did the podcast is, remember I was telling you that at night, like I come home and I'm like tired and then I want to do something, but then it's just like the being tired and then knowing that I only have 2 hours to build or whatever before, you know, I go to sleep, it's almost like nothing gets done. You know, I'm just like I guess I'm just going to go to sleep or you keep putting it off.
Right.
And it's almost like it's not fun, but I remember you telling me like, hey, maybe it's something you need to do in the morning, you know, because maybe by then you're just like not in the mood. You're not even enjoying it.
Right.
And I was like, man, like you really got me thinking about that. So I was talking to one of my friends and I started to tell him like, hey, have you ever done that? Like you build your models in the morning before you go to work? And he's like, yeah, I've been doing that. Like I need to get this car done. So I get home pretty late sometimes and, you know, I wake up early in the morning. Like he says, the night before, I already plan out what I'm going to do. He's like, I already know what I'm going to do. So I either lay it out, just leave my stuff there, go to sleep, wake up early. I get ready for work, you know, I get dressed and everything. And then now I have like an hour or maybe hour and a half to work on this. But I'm right wide awake
right. And
I'm motivated to get it done because I know what I need to do. Once I'm done, I have that satisfaction that I got it. At least some steps done to it, go to work, and knowing, like, oh, when I get home, watch, I'm going to add that final touching needs
right. Or
prep for the next morning, and it just starts to become a routine. So I started kind of doing that, too, like waking up early in the morning and then, like, working on stuff, and it does help.
Yeah.
It does help a lot. So thank you for telling me there. That definitely, like, it made me think different and be like, dude, I need to really, like, you know, change things up for myself with that. So that's cool. And that's pretty much what you do, right?
Yeah, like, that's what I do.
In the mornings?
Yeah.
But do you get up even more earlier in the weekends compared to the week?
Well, when I do my building, it's usually in the weekend. So,
because
during the week, I wake up like at 3 a.m. So I don't have time to mess with the model. I mean, I'll look at it when I'm walking out the door to go to work.
Mm-hmm.
But like when Saturday comes, I'm up 4 or 5 a.m.
Yeah.
And I'll go in the garage and start building.
That's early, dude. 3 a.m.
No, 4 or 5
I mean,
in the morning.
Oh, but like during the week. Yeah. What time are you normally off by?
1:30
Okay, that's
1 cool. 1:00, 1:30 I'm off.
Yeah, but it's like you just want to chill.
Yeah, when I get home, it's the same thing as if you get home at 5
yeah.
in the afternoon or at 1. You're still tired from work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't want to go home at 1, you know, work on the model car. I want to go home and relax, yeah. you know?
So you're working and then you face plant on it, you know? And so you'll be like, what the hell?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Nah, that's cool. Is your work far, though? Do you have to drive? Do you have a commute or no?
Sometimes I work up in Lancaster, which is the shop is like probably not even 10 minutes away. But if I do get dispatched to go work down here in L.A., I got to do that drive.
Man, and when you come out, do you make those rounds to the hobby shops out here?
On Fridays.
Yeah.
On cool. Fridays, I'll stop at Burbank House of Hobbies.
Yeah, that's like a fun day, right? It's a ritual now. Like, yeah, it's kind of... Like, if you don't even, not even if you want to buy something, but even if you just don't
go there.
Yeah. If you don't go, you probably feel weird. Like,
yeah.
Like, damn, I didn't even get to go. That's crazy. Have you made a wish list for the guys to give to hand with stapled on with like a $100 bill to the list? Like, here you go. Please. I need this stuff.
Not really. I mean, I have pretty much everything.
Yeah. You're set. Cool. Yeah.
Probably a couple of shirts.
Yeah, oh, and the
guys from, like, you know, like a Primera Car Club or...
A beanie?
Or a beanie or something.
Yeah, hell yeah. You guys going to get me a beanie?
No. Yeah. I mean, as long as I have, you know, a safe trip, cool trip.
Yeah.
Nah. Let them have fun. And I mean, they're taking my truck, so...
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
Man, imagine they take the truck. There's photos of everything, but not the truck.
Oh, I don't know.
And you're just like, did it make it safe?
I'm going to blame Armando.
And then it's like, dude, you know what? I think we left it. Like, in the garage. Like, damn.
I'll blame Armando.
Yeah, we left it on the table. It stayed. We packed everything up, but that was, like, the last car that we forgot to pack.
I mean, as long as the owner or the new owner takes it.
Yeah. Like, is that the only car you're going to be sending out, or is there...
That's the only Japan, vehicle.
That yeah. That's nice.
Because I started building that in, what, January 1st of this year.
Mm-hmm.
And that was before I met Armando and before we, like, clicked up, you know?
Yeah.
And then, I guess... They end up going, or they're going to Japan, so then they're building all these replicas, and I was like, oh, I got a truck that I'm building.
Mm-hmm.
So I showed it to him, and he's like, yeah, build it. We're taking it to Japan for you.
Yeah, that's so cool right there. What about any other cars that you've built? You didn't get like an idea, like maybe I'll give them this car too to take out there, like the Riviera.
The blue one?
Yeah.
I didn't really think about that.
My
main focus was just...
Then sending like 10 more cars. Uh-huh. Here, guys, just take them all.
No, my main focus was just the truck to get that done. But I mean, if he wants to take the Riviera, he can. You know, what's mine?
He's like, nah, I don't want to take it.
Take no more.
Yeah, nah, we're good. Yeah. We're good. Nah. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be shipping out 2 cars. The Hudson Hornet. The reason I want that car, it hasn't gone out there.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to smell the air out in Japan, but
what's brand new too? I mean,
you
finished it this year, right?
Not yet. On top of that, though, that car was inspired to me when I was building it from the style. Yeah, that and the Cholos.
Yeah.
The custom shop. Right. So it's something I hope they're there. I'm pretty sure they're gonna be there, but I hope they see it.
Mm-hmm.
So that was like an inspiration, like just from the time I went, the impression, seeing their cars in person. And then on top of that, like just following them on Instagram and just seeing how like they're always like doing something different. It really caught my attention. And then there's also the 48 Chevy panel. From Paradise World, the Pharaohs.
Mm-hmm.
That's another one too that it's going to be going out there as well. So I wish I can go, but... You know, it's one of those things. I know physically I cannot be there, but I know that, you know, like the work that we're going to be sending out with the guys, you got to look at it as like all this time and effort and like, it's like you poured your soul into that car.
Right.
You know, so at least that's going out there.
So it's like a part of you is going out there, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, you know, it'll make its way back. And it's something that it's going to be a memory that you'll always be able to look back at and be like, you know, tell people like, hey, this car was out in Japan.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and I mean, in the future, I'm pretty sure we will be out there as well.
Yeah. Cause I really want to go too. I've never been. So.
Yeah. No, definitely, dude. You gotta.
The only thing I'm not like looking forward to is that long as.
The flight.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not too bad. I mean, they got movies. They got lots of movies you can watch, go to sleep. I remember thinking, like, man, you could even work on your model car on there. But then people are going to trip when you bust out the glue.
Yeah.
They're going to be thinking that you're, like, sniffing glue or something. You bust out the airbrush. Like, they're going to be thinking you're putting glue in the throw-up bag and, like, huffing it on the way up to knock out. But, nah. And then hobby knives, too. That's, yeah. like, nah, that's totally dangerous right there. But you got to make sure, oh, yeah, all your guys' like, tools and all that, put it in the, not your carry-on. Put that in your luggage with all your clothes.
Okay.
Yeah. You don't want to have that on you.
It's considered a weapon, though.
No? Oh, yeah. So, I mean, they'll just confiscate that and toss it. But, all right. I mean, when we were coming back, all the tools, everything, I put that thing in the luggage. Like, I didn't even want to carry it, you know, that, like, that was going to just go in the belly of the plane right there. But it's going to be good times. Definitely out there.
I hope the guys have fun and, you know.
Yeah.
Show off everything. Hopefully everything goes good. None of the cars get ruined on the way over there.
I know.
Get dropped, get kicked, or get sold.
They sell off your car.
I
know mine too. Damn, where are they at?
2 for 1.
And they're just like, oh, you can make another one.
Yeah, right.
And then they're like, oh, but hey, remember, I get 30% commission off the sale. It's like, nah, that's not cool. What are your plans for 2020?
Probably just stay more busy and probably try to build more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. More than this year?
More active on Instagram, and then I'm thinking about starting a YouTube page too.
Yeah, you should.
So, give that a try and see how that goes.
Yeah, that'd be awesome to do a page
right there. But yeah, as far as like modeling, I mean, I'm still going to do the same thing I did this year, the year before. I'm, you know, I love doing it, so.
Yeah.
The only thing that's going to change is probably the people I'm around now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
More, I don't know, I think it's more fun now to me.
Yeah.
Being part of a club now. Because before I was solo, and now that I'm with, you know, Armando Masterpieces, it's way, way different.
Yeah.
Like, I want to build more, you know?
No, yeah. It's always good. It's refreshing when you get together with people and you work on stuff.
That are doing the same, that love doing the same thing
you like
doing, you know?
Yeah, because I know a lot of people that build, you know, in different places, different states. And even for them, they don't even have a hobby shop around the corner or anywhere near. Sometimes they don't know anybody who builds and they want to learn this stuff. But sometimes, like, yeah, we can make these videos and we can tell someone through text or in a DM, like, this is how you do it, show them pictures and everything. But it's still, like, not the same in person.
Right.
Like, on person, it's a whole another level, something more personal.
Yeah.
You know, when someone's showing you, and even though someone showed you, you could still run into a problem as you're doing it. But then it's cool having them there that they can show you, like, look, this is what we do next, especially if we run into a pretty big problem or something.
Right.
You know, and it's cool because, like, you go home, like, motivated, like, oh, man, like, I'm going home with all this homework.
Yeah.
You know, like, I know what I need to do next with my car. I was a little lost, but now I got... You know, I see the lanes. I see where I need to go.
Yeah, you go back with knowledge and then you apply that to other builds too.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know.
So it's always a fun thing right there.
Yeah.
That's cool. Well, hey, Ivan, what's your Instagram?
Little Shop of Models.
Yeah. A
couple of underscores on there, but.
Cool. We'll put you on the link on the description as well.
Yeah.
It was a pleasure talking to you, Ivan.
Yeah, you too.
And hanging out too as well, earlier, you know.
Yeah.
So, hopefully we see each other again in the future, and we're gonna move on to the next guest. Damn, all right,
teacher.
Yeah, all right, so the final guest that we have for episode number 99 is Armando Flores. Please step up to the stage.
Let me get my beer.
All right.
Cheers for that.
Here you go. Oh, cheers, Armando. How are you?
Right.
Yes. Here. Nice.
All stressed out.
I know, man.
Yeah.
It's been months and months of stress.
Yes.
Levels up and down. It's almost like a mixer on a stereo, seeing like the levels going up and down. Are they at red?
They're like purple, man.
Purple? Dang. On the meter.
They're like past the red or something. Because time is going so quick,
mm-hmm.
and next thing you know, we're gonna be in Japan and we're going to have to represent.
Yeah. One question, you know, like time flies. And I know, when, you know, when you're like a kid and when you're young, it's like you have all this time in the world. But the question is, time, you know, it slips away. But is it because of age that we're getting older? Or is it because of the tasks at hand, the responsibilities of the projects in life?
I think it's because you get so busy. And time just goes very quick.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing is that you see getting yourself older and you, mm-hmm. like, want to make more. You want to do more stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you see time, you know, getting closer.
Yeah.
And you just basically want to produce more.
Yeah.
And do things right. Mm-hmm. And do things what you want to do.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting how you say that. Like, as we get older, you want to do all this stuff. And it's almost like when you say those words, it's almost like it's so close and related to like mortality. It's almost like you're thinking, not you're thinking, but you almost feel like I got to do all these things before I'm gone.
Correct.
Right. And I've had a thought of that in moments in like 2010. I was like in a really bad car accident. I was driving by myself. I got T-boned. This guy had stolen a car. He was on drugs. He hit me like at 110 miles an hour. And I just spun out of control, whatever. But like when all that happened, I you know, it was something negative, but I tried to turn it into a positive.
Correct.
And once like, you know, the shock was gone, I was telling myself like, I got to drive again. I got to do all this stuff. I can't let that hold me back. But I got to do all these things first. So whatever I was doing in my life at that time, I wasn't taking it serious. It was like my goals were like, like I'll do it later. I got all this time, right?
Right.
But that changed. Like when that happened and I was good physically, mentally, everything was cool. I had all these like goals and I started to like attack them and reach them. Every time. And even my friends were like, man, like, I think ever since that accident happened, like you've been doing all these things, like things have changed. And I would always tell them, well, I want to leave something behind. Like, because I started to say, like, when I'm gone, mm-hmm. it's like the only people who are going to remember me are going to be my friends and my family. Right. But then as time passes, then it's just the family. And then as more time passes, then even the family, like, it goes away because new generations kick Correct. In. Yes. And then the new generations never got to meet you. So then you fade away, and then it's almost like, oh, yeah, that's, like, my great-great-great-great-great, like, uncle or whatever. Yes. I heard, you know, like, he was my uncle. All right, what'd he do? Well, I don't know. I don't know what he did. But then when you leave all this stuff that's, like, here, this is history. It's like, look, I still have something that he did physically, you know, not just an image, but a physical thing.
Right.
Which is like, it starts to change things, you know?
Yes. And you appreciate life. You start appreciating the moments, the reason why you do things, mm-hmm. the reason why you go to work, why you go and, you know, go to Japan and do car models. You need to enjoy what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I try to do every day.
Yeah.
Whether you're eating, you're sleeping, you're working.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of enjoy life.
Yeah.
And part of this hobby, it makes me happy.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy it. I enjoy having, you know, you guys here.
Yeah.
Having a good time and be able to share that with you mm-hmm. guys.
No, yeah, it's that's the thing. Any like, if you think about it, like, this is what brought us together.
Correct.
You know, and it still trips me out, you know, like having a connection back in the day just through a magazine without even meeting you. My connection was looking at that and being inspired and just being glued to the magazine and just staring at it. no phone, no internet, no nothing. Just a magazine speaking to me, mm-hmm. Looking at artwork, knowing that, hey, this car is a model of a real car. And I just remember like laying in bed in my stomach, you know, just flipping through the pages and just staring at it. And my parents probably like, what is he looking at? You know, like he's so quiet, but whatever, let him do his thing. And then over time, you start seeing more cars in the magazines and just being like, man, like, how do they do this? The whole mystery of how do they do this? And I'm sure everybody has tons of stories and different connections. But in your process, when you were building this car, like, you probably had no idea what impact or how far this was going to reach. You know, your purpose was different. I know you wanted to create that car. It was Lowrider Car of the Year when that came out.
Yes, it was.
But it's like your goal was to do that. You did your homework on it, but at the same time, it was like for competition.
Right.
Too, right?
Yes.
And that gravitated people. Like it connected you with more people, yes. You know?
Yes, and I think every artist, they express their artwork and their love and their artistic mind through something,
mm-hmm.
whether it's music, food. For us, it's in the car model world. So every time I see something and I want to create something, I want to express it myself and, mm-hmm. and somewhere where people can see it. And if it can motivate other people, that's good. That's my kind of like my goal, like make sure that I motivate other people. There's a lot of youngsters right now that they're looking for something, but maybe it helps mm-hmm. one way or another.
Yeah. No, yeah. It's crazy because I know like for myself, you've taught me a lot of things and I feel like you gave me this big like push to learn and advance quick with things. And also if I run into a problem, how to, you know, like get through it and how to get to the next step. But at the same time, those things has translated into my personal real life where tasks that happen at work or even just dealing with like daily life things. I feel like back then, on a personal note, like if something bad would happen as a kid or whatever, I would like freak out or be like, oh, like we messed up or I messed up or I don't know how to fix this or what. And now it's almost like the worst thing could happen, but it's almost like the car modeling helps you keep things calm and cool and be like, all right, like the damage has been done or whatever, but what do we need to do now?
Right. And it doesn't cost anything. Mm-hmm. It's more like sharing and help others. It doesn't cost me anything to help others, whether building models or an advice,
mm-hmm.
using my experience or using my, you know, the years that I've been living in this life.
Yeah.
So I love to do that. I love to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that I enjoy.
Yeah.
I know that when you give more, you get more.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's true. That's so true. So Japan, this journey that you guys are going to be taking, yes. It's going to be for 10 days.
Yes.
And I mean, this is something that's going to be fun for you guys because I know, you guys have been friends for a long time and this is just going to be like a great experience being out of your element, being away from your comfort zone. Like, you know, obviously, like, being at home and being in an area where you just know, like, you know where you're at,
right.
You know. I mean, you've been to Japan many times. This is probably, like, a second home to you now. but at the same time, it's going to be cool because you're going to be with your friends, mm-hmm. like, kicking it, having drinks, eating food, going to the hobby stores, and enjoying the car shows, you know. So it's going to be a lot, like, a lot of life experiences and things that are only going to happen once.
Right. And this is why I do it, because I believe that we're here to, you know, enjoy life and also do things that you want to do
mm-hmm.
the right way.
No, yeah. And so let me give some info for the people listening. So this show is taking place on Sunday, December 1st. It's the 28th annual Yokohama Hot Rod Custom Show 2019. I know for this show, you've been doing a lot of work every day. You've been busy. You know, there's times that I call you, I can't get a hold of you, or I do get a hold of you. It's almost like we play tag. We're going back and forth or whatever. Yeah. And then you show me a pic like, hey, look where I'm at. And you start to see all the things. And then I'm like, wait, you're doing another store? You're doing another, wait, another building? And I know you started things off with the Paradise Road Bastard Shop. And then also Night the Funksta. And one of the things, too, that I was like, wait, you're doing that store, too, was a California Social Club.
Yes.
Was like another shop. But aside from that, you're also doing the cars, too. I know you had done the Van Gogh. That's going to Japan.
That's
going to Japan. There. Heartbreak Shot from Bastards.
You did a paint job on that. Nice paint job.
It's going out there. And right. What I couldn't get the name of the fleet line, the bomb. Car, the one that has the
Soul Line.
Okay.
That's the name of the car.
Man, that thing is crazy. I never got to see it. Did you ever see it in person?
Yes. When I went to Classic Legends, the car was there and I took a lot of pictures of that.
Yeah.
That fleet line.
Yeah, I remember you talking about it, saying like, that's one car I definitely want to take on. I want to do. But as time goes, I got to see, you know. And next thing you know, you started getting that one prepped.
Yes.
And getting it ready for Japan and everything, like the lace and just the vinyl top.
That was a challenge.
Yeah, that it was crazy. I remember you telling me, like, you know, the lace, that's going to be one of the things that's going to be the challenge.
Yeah, and the roof, you know, kind of make it where it's leather, the whole leather thing. It looks really gangster.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the look of that.
Yeah.
Fleet line.
So with all the experience that you've had over the years with that fleet line, definitely something new that you learned as well?
I learned on every car that I paint or I build, I learn something new.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always a challenge. And the main challenge is the paint job. Once the paint job is done, it's like, okay, I made it.
Yeah.
The rest is just, you know, have fun with finishing it.
Yeah, it's always the paint job.
Yeah, the paint job is what kind of drags me and tells me, like, hey.
Yeah.
You know.
And from there, I mean, you know, you started to take on the Paradise Road, the shop.
Yes.
You started doing your homework. Like, you've always told me you got to do your homework.
Correct. This building, it's from Japan. Junichi, he's... You know, I guess the pioneer of custom lowriders in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, you know, I always go to something where it made an impact to either a country or club or an area.
Mm-hmm.
And this building, I know it's been known for many years, and a lot of car clubs are welcome there.
Yeah.
And I always see the building, and it's like, that's a beautiful building. That's something that maybe someday I can, you know, duplicate that.
Mm-hmm.
And this building, I mean, it took a lot of months to build. And, of course, with collaboration with Hector Lozano, he kind of did some airbrush on it.
Yeah.
And collect all the pieces. I also have some help from Skeleton. He gave me some advices. And also... Junichi, he been sending me pictures, like, you know, and give me thumbs up and cool. Motivate me.
The
and
approval.
Like, yeah, so I'm excited about, you know, taking this piece of art to Japan with the others. Another guy that really followed for many years is Nice Tafanska.
Mm-hmm.
And and I mentioned this in different podcasts before. He's probably the most cholo Mexican in Japan, and he makes some beautiful drawings. I get really inspired, and I wanted to make like his studio, and it's pretty much done. It's 98% done. I just need to finish up a few more touches, and that will be done. And Paradise Road is pretty much done.
Yeah. I like the figurine that's inside the building.
Yes.
And that was one thing that you were tripping out on when you were in the process of starting this, the idea and everything. And the next thing you know, you're telling me like, hey, I have this figure and it looks just like him.
Yes, and it was given to me more than 20 years ago by Carlos Avelar.
That's crazy.
And it's just going to go to Japan now.
Uh-huh.
So I guess, you know, it was meant for something, you know?
Yeah, it was almost like he gave you a puzzle piece a long time ago.
Yeah.
You know, like you guys hung out, you guys were friends and everything. And then, you know, there happened to be a time where he was creating that. And he handed it over to you, and it's yours.
Right.
And you kept it all these years. Right, you preserved it, not even knowing.
Not even knowing.
And then it's almost like you put the pieces together, and you're like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy.
Right. And Bastard Shop, I mean, I also follow Bastard Shop. His name is Cass. And he has a shop that... he has like a boutique next to it, mm-hmm. and then he has the shop on the other side. And, you know, this building is also something that is in Japan that he has done probably the most beautiful paint jobs out there. And that inspired me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I try to do and duplicate his paint jobs, because it's a challenge.
Yeah, and then also I feel like there's more of a connection because your guys' friendship. Yes. I know recently, earlier this year, he was out here and he came over to your studio and he hung out with you.
Right.
And he brought his father too. You got to meet his dad.
His dad.
That was awesome.
He's been here 3 times.
Yeah.
And next movie, he's been here,
mm-hmm.
from Japan. And maybe Yushini. You Nietzsche,
yeah.
can come in and
that'd be cool. Sign me. Sign the
yeah
the what do you want to call that, the case,
the case, just to you know,
yeah, you gotta get that signature on there.
Signature in there. And then I also added another shop. It's called
the California
Social Club.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I follow them for almost, I would say, like maybe a year, and it's a store that they do this Taco Tuesday, and mm-hmm. you see lowriders coming in, and I like the shop and I like what they do. So it's something that I wanted to just add to the presentation.
Yeah.
And they already replied back. All of them have replied back to me. So hopefully when I go over there, I get to see those guys over there.
Yeah, they'll be there at the Moon Eyes show as well.
They will be.
They'll have a booth.
Moon Eyes. Yeah.
That's cool. And how are your plans as far as transporting all this out there?
I made it so that it disconnects. Like, I can pack everything separate, mm-hmm. and all the walls, they come out. They all have hinges. So once you take it apart, it can go into a very tiny box and then build it over there.
Yeah.
In Japan.
I know, like, lately, this year alone, there's been a lot of buildings, dioramas, things being created now. I almost feel like people would do like dials or layouts, but I feel like the Whittier Boulevard was more of an inspiration for a lot of people seeing the presence of their cars and then just all these buildings going across, and now more and more people are researching and figure out how to do their own building. Right. And when you look at like this one here, the Paradise Road, it's not like a two-dimensional building. It's more like a three-dimensional, like you could just walk around the whole thing.
Yes.
You know, there's you'll find things in every side, you know, whether it's the front of the shop, the sides, or in the back.
Correct.
You know, things are you can interact, you can open up the garage, the doors. There's artwork in the back as well. The weathering, and there's even lights. How was that process with the lights in the front?
Well, you know, thanks to technology, now LEDs are so easy to find, easy to get, and all these LEDs are only like 3 volts, so you can run current,
mm-hmm.
3 volts, and you can pretty much put it on your models, on your car models, or in stores. Astoria is a bigger building, so you can pretty much hide everything.
Mm-hmm.
But on a car, it's a little bit, you know, complicated, but not impossible.
Yeah. Yeah, because it makes a big difference in the front, where you have it, say, Paradise Road. Also, like, the spotlights in the front and inside the building, too, there's lights as well. It gives, like, a, especially when, like, you turn off all the lights and it's, like, night.
Yes.
That feeling, it does give you that warm feeling like you're in a shop.
Right.
I don't know. Have you had moments when you're by yourself, let's say everyone's asleep and it's just you and you turn everything off and you're working and you're just, like, kind of just staring at it?
Yes.
And tripping out, like.
And I play with the lights and I try to see, you know, the vision of what people can see.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can see it, people can see it.
Yeah.
And it's like having a toy, you know, you're playing mm-hmm. with lights, you're playing with, you know, all the stuff that you did inside that makes it, you know, excited about it.
Yeah, I saw there's a detail in there that I like. It's like those little, like banner flags.
Right.
Those little triangle ones that go across on the inside.
Yeah.
Those look really...
he has that in the shop.
Too. Did you have to cut those out to make, like, one by one? I've never seen it in that scale.
It's just regular electrical tape.
Okay.
That I just glue it together, and then I cut it mm-hmm. with scissors and make it like a triangle.
Yeah. Wow. That looks so cool. I mean, there's a lot of things in there. You got the display case in there, too.
That was fun.
Remember the bench, the soda machine?
Yes.
Is that going to be displayed in the front as well?
I'm going to try to
vending machine
change it around because it has a light, so it lights up the bottles and stuff. So mm-hmm. I'm going to be switching things around during the show just to give different angles of the pieces that were created.
Yeah. What was the most challenging on the Paradise Road building? That you came across?
That's the sign that says Paradise Road, where you have to carve it. And I still want to upgrade it to another idea. But mm-hmm. for right now, it's just basically going to go to Japan.
That like that's cool right now. But once you're back and in a relaxed setting. One thing I've always wanted to ask you, and I don't even really ask you this, I don't think, even when we're just like talking in person, but... do you ever, like, when do you think you're ever going to take a break?
Oh.
I'm not saying, like, months, but just, like, because I feel like you're working on something constantly.
Right.
Every month.
Yeah.
Like, every week.
This project really, not drained me, but it kind of made me realize that, I spent a lot of time mm-hmm. on it. And I want to take a step back a little bit and, you know, kind of see things a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to lose my...
Like the momentum.
The hobby.
And the hobby, okay.
The hobby excitement. I don't want to... That's why I don't do business, like, trying to make money out of it or sell my stuff. Mm-hmm. I just doing it for fun.
Yeah.
And kind of like, that's kind of what I like.
Yeah, yeah.
Keep it as a fun. And when I have the time to do it.
Yeah, it's almost like I kind of feel, you know, like, I mean, you did go all out and you had this goal. You reached it. You're going to do the presentation. Now comes the fun part. Mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of the hard stuff has been done. Now it's about, you know, getting on that plane, probably falling asleep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's going to be a 14, 15 hour flight. I hope you get some rest and sleep.
Maybe with a couple of beers, yeah.
Yeah, go to sleep and then... You just wake up and like when you, I know when you're in Japan, you're going to just forget about whatever stress, work, whatever is gone. You're there, you're breathing, you know, the air there. And then now the focus is like, let's just have fun now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, whatever final little touches need to be done in the hotel room at night, you know, prior to the show, you know, those are always even fun too.
Yeah.
Just making sure that all the bases are covered. And then when you come back, I almost feel like you might chill for a little bit, just enough to hit that reset button, you mm-hmm. know? Like, I feel like being out there, you're going to disconnect from a lot of things. But then even just coming home, it's like you're going to see, like, all right, let me clean up the shop. let me clean this up, let me organize, let me just make sure all these things are in order. All right, they are. All right, like, this is like my reset button I just hit. I feel refreshed. You know, you're going to see a car in a magazine or on Instagram. Something's going to grab you that's going to inspire you. And you're going to be like, all right, I know what's next. Mm-hmm. And then you're on to the next.
Right.
You know, so I don't think you have anything to worry about as far right. as like losing the hobby.
Right.
I feel like, it's always been a part of your life.
Yeah.
You know.
And I never stop.
Yeah, it's always going to be there, like, for sure. But I just trip out. Like, it's not just cars. Like, this time it's buildings. Last time it was cars. Like, right. last time we went, it was the Gypsy Rose.
Right.
That was, like, the goal. I still remember when we started kicking it and you were, like, telling me, like, hey, you know, I'm going to go to Japan. And I'm gonna enter this contest, and this is, I'm gonna bust out with this car. Mm-hmm. This is the one I'm gonna take. And it wasn't even done yet. Like, you know, you still had to do more stuff to it.
Right.
And like, to me, I mean, I'm looking at the photos of a car that you have up, and I'm looking at the model, and it at the time it was like really hard for me to wrap my brain around it. Mm-hmm. Like, how's he gonna do it? I know he can do it, but how? Like, I wanna see the magic done, you know, mm-hmm. in front of my eyes. So then little by little, it started to come up, and then bam, it was like done. Then you were like, look, I'm gonna do this turntable now. Oh, I'm going to paint this flight case and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what the hell? Like, it's done. But that was like the focus, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was like the car, the case, and the turntable. Those were things you created. All right, cool. Now it's like different. Now it's like buildings. It's the cars. Like, there's just more stuff like added to it.
Yes, as an artist, you always have a vision, and I think if you're a car model builder, you can do buildings too.
Mm-hmm.
And the more detail you put on your cars, you can do that on a building also. But even when I was a kid, I used to like buildings. I wanted to be an architect, or mm-hmm. I wanted to be some kind of a, you know, designer or whatever.
Yeah.
But the only thing I can do right now with the hobby is mm-hmm. Cars and buildings.
Yeah.
Or like a diorama, mm-hmm. you know, part of it. But now with these old presentations that are happening, now I'm focusing more on like just basically do presentations.
Yeah.
I think presentations make more impact in the car model world than just the model itself. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. Like, it's evolving. I mean, yes. That's what's going to keep everything going. I mean, I know more of the traditional model car shows. It's like there's just tables laid out. That's mm-hmm. it, just tables. Mm-hmm. And then everyone just puts their cars with the little slip with the paper with the information. Once in a while, you'll get somebody who will go the extra length and they'll bring a presentation piece in a square little diorama, like a nice little space with everything, right? And then little by little, people kind of sneak in a building or something. Next thing you know, they're going to have to bring in more bigger tables or mm-hmm. something, because things are going to start changing. Like, people are going to be... Next thing you know, we're going to have a table of just cars and then a table of just buildings itself. Like, you never know. There might be a category for just buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just going to keep, like, elevating, like, more. You know, there's already been like collaborations with somebody who dedicates themselves to just buildings, with someone who car models, and they say, hey, let's go in on it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's put something like together. And I mean, we see it with like Skeleton, even with Vision 124, when, you know, they've been hanging out and doing their pieces together. So it's all these things that are very like motivating.
Right. And it's not just on the car scene. Airplanes that people do, like a plane crash on something and they just make the whole diorama,
mm-hmm.
or battleships, they make the whole war going on and whatever.
It looks crazy.
And that's a real nice dioramas. But for a car, I think it needs something more than just a car. That's why, you know, sometimes I put a turntable or I put a display or lights or something, mm-hmm. because for me, a car it just looks empty.
Mm-hmm.
So you need something else to, you know, get the whole presentation full.
No, yeah, it's so true. You know, like a while back we had talked about like Burbank Castle Hobbies. They do these meetings.
Yes.
Where people get together and mm-hmm. and it's like everybody does. They're into different things, mm-hmm. but collectively, I think when you're there, you leave with some information or some inspiration to attach to your cars or buildings, mm-hmm. which you got going on. I know you were doing a lot with weathering, mm-hmm. with your car. With your building. Before, you know, when you were working on your panels, obviously it wasn't weathered yet.
Right.
And I mean, it looked like a brand new building, mm-hmm. but you were still like, no, it's not done yet. I'm going to still do all this stuff. I'm going to add some rust. I'm going to do all this stuff. And it's almost like, I mean, I don't know. It just naturally, you just like your artistry just kicked in and like you see it. And I'm just like, man, it looks, those pieces of styrene look like metal.
Right. And before I used to do car models, I was a painter. So I do oil paintings, acrylic paintings, and you work with oil paintings or acrylic. And you always try to do an effect or weathering or whether color or light or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it's easy for me to do the weather. Mm. So there's different materials. I got some materials from Ivan. Ivan gave me some materials that he uses for his weather pieces.
Hey, handsome over, mm-hmm. Ivan.
Nah. And I'm looking at them, mm-hmm. and then I'm going, okay. There's stuff that you can do with an airbrush. There's stuff you can do with just a brush. Some of them you can do just with a Q-tip or different things. But at the end, the final product looks pretty similar. Mm-hmm. It's just the materials are a little bit different. And as an artist or as a painter, you can kind of duplicate that. That's why for me, it's easy to do a replica of a paint job of a car. It's almost like knowing the recipe as soon as I see it. Mm-hmm. It just goes on my mind like, okay, what am I going to do? I'm going to do this, and that. And next thing you know, it's done.
Mm-hmm. I know one of the cars that you even showed a video, some video clips on to inspire people was when you started working on the Heartbreak Shot.
Yeah.
You did a time lapse.
Yes.
Video showing the process, and I know that was a video that got a lot of views. You know, it'll definitely opened up the eyes to a lot of people that, oh, this is like, you know, how this was done. This is how you lay like patterns and like the process of painting and
yeah
and all that. And I mean, it looks super intricate when you look at it. I remember you showing me pictures of the real car, mm-hmm. and me just being like, dang, like where do you even begin? And you were like, oh, that's easy. I'll knock it out.
Yeah.
You know, like this weekend. And I'm just like, dang, I know he can do it over the weekend. And then it's like, oh, here.
It went so easy.
Yeah, and I'm like, what the heck? Like,
yeah.
It's crazy.
Sometimes you have to learn the tricks to it. Mm-hmm. Like, that way you don't spend too much time taping, mm-hmm. unmasking, back masking. You just basically prep the car. That way you're going to do it faster.
Yeah.
But it's still going to look nice.
Yeah, because it's like you could definitely waste a lot of time, mm-hmm. back masking and taping, mm-hmm. and cutting every little thing.
Oh, yeah.
And then at the end, you're just like, man, I'm going to give up.
Yeah, but it went pretty easy on that car. Mm-hmm. And I like the results, too.
Yeah. So we're taking 4 buildings. And how many cars are you taking?
Taking
your cars? I mean, we did the rundown. Did I miss any?
So it's Heartbreak. Well, Mental 9 is another car that I painted a long time ago, mm-hmm. and it was just
sitting in here, right?
On my shelf.
Okay, yeah. In the shop.
Yeah, so now it's going to be inside his building.
Mental 9. That's cool.
Yes.
That's awesome. What are you looking forward to in Japan this time around?
This time?
Because you're going to 2 shows.
You know, I'm looking more to meet new people, be more like social with the people in Japan. Mm-hmm. And then this is the first time that Hector Lozano and his daughter is going. So I want to make sure that he enjoys Japan, mm-hmm. the way I have done in the past.
Yeah.
So, eat whatever we want to eat, drink whatever we want to
drink. Don't hold back.
Yeah.
That's so cool. Are you gonna are you looking forward to the hobby shops as
yes,
well out there?
Yes, I'm gonna.
Are you gonna get that this, little brush? Remember you didn't get it last time?
No, I didn't, but this time I'm gonna pay a little bit more attention to the tools and the stuff that they have out there.
Yeah, heck yeah. Bring back some goodies.
Yes.
Right there.
Pretty much.
No, that's awesome. So you're gonna are these gonna be your carry-ons or are they gonna be shipped out with the luggage?
With the luggage.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Cool.
Except for the cars. The cars are gonna be
gonna
stay with us.
Yeah. How do you feel? What are your thoughts and opinion about the Galaxian? Something that Hector Lozano
just finished. I was very surprised. I think more surprised than not surprised, mm-hmm. because he did so much work into it. A lot of craftsmanship went on that car. I was surprised that he was able to machine some parts too, mm-hmm. and then he threw lights in there, and it's just crazy. Mm-hmm. That tells me that he's always been a masterpiece. Whether you leave for 20 years, you come back, you're still with the same talent, if not even better, because he was able to prove and show the car the way it is right now.
Yeah. How does it feel? I mean, now knowing that, you know, he's back active building models, mm-hmm. Definitely probably brings back a lot of memories.
Yes.
From back then, that feeling.
Yes. And we all know how nice it is to build car models, and, it's kind of like a escape or like a addiction that you always come back to the things that you like. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that he came back and be able to do something for himself that he wants to build, and he did.
Yeah.
You know, people think they think that it's just a toy, but when you spend 8 months doing it, it's not a toy.
Yeah, nah, you pour your soul into there, your love, everything goes into that car.
You wait to get up from work and start working on it instead of like, oh, let me go and do something else. You know, no, you just basically can't wait to be home. And
yeah, it's all on your mind. And then when they're like, hey, and you need to do this, you're like, ah, get all mad. Like, damn, I want to work on my car.
And then do
this,
it.
This was my plan.
And then do it like 2, 3, 4 times.
Yeah.
And it's not coming out the way you want it.
Oh, yeah.
And it's something I discover, Edgar, is that, you know, the older I get, I start being impatient mm-hmm. when I'm doing the car models.
Yeah.
I can
see. The patience just goes out the window.
Oh, my God. I'm like, oh, my God. So, but
he's gonna flip the table.
But that's not gonna stop me from doing what I like to do.
Yeah. Nah, yeah, you gotta. It's because I think it has to do too because you've done all these cars, and with the year, the experience, you reach the level that when you're doing something, it's like you know how to get to that point, and you expect it to mm-hmm. come out at a certain level, and when it's not coming out, someone else can be like, oh, that looks good. Mm-hmm. But you're like, nah, it's not like you know, not and also not being like a perfectionist, but there's a certain standard you want on your build.
Yeah, and your eyes are, you know, you need glasses now, and you need to get a perfect light, and that's something that is very important. When you're young and your eyes are good, that
you're good to go. It's crazy how lighting has a lot to do with it too, because That light that you recommended that goes on the desk, mm-hmm. That LED. I mean, I wasn't using that obviously back then. I was just whatever was above, mm-hmm. whether if I was in the kitchen or the living room. And even the light's like kind of yellowish, mm-hmm. you know, it's not really that bright. Mm-hmm. And like now that, you know, I have that light, you get a better view. It's more clear and everything. Yes. And then whenever I go back to not using that light and I use anything else, it stresses my eyes. Mm-hmm. Like I'm like, nah, I can't. I mean, I could work, but I know my eyes are gonna get tired.
Yeah.
But when I work under that light in the bench, and I'm like, in my world, it's like different. Like my eyes don't get tired at all.
Right. the light is very important, mm-hmm. especially on detail.
Yeah. You need that
or
lighting.
Or the colors, you know, when you're doing painting and stuff. So.
That's true. Yeah, because other than that, like, I try to do something and I'm just like, man, I'm not feeling this light. Like, I can't just, mm-hmm. you know, go to like my parents' house or something and be like, oh, I'm just going to work in the kitchen. Like,
right.
I need to bring that light with me.
Right.
If I'm going to do that.
Right.
You know?
Sometimes you're working on an area where you're not even noticing that your light is not perfect until you start getting tired and you're like, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. This is the reason why I'm getting tired, because the light is not enough.
Yeah. My eyes are giving up.
Yeah.
The lighting.
Yeah.
Damn, that's crazy. Yeah, it definitely, it does happen. Mm-hmm. Where most of your nights, like, you were staying up pretty late, working on everything every night?
Lately, I have, mm-hmm. because I want to get this project done. And it is stressing me out, like, mm-hmm. Trying to get it done, but it's getting there.
So, did you ever worry, like, man, maybe it's not going to be able to be done?
Certain stuff, yes. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you just try your best.
Yeah.
You can't just, you know, also argue with yourself or, you know, trying to say, oh, mm-hmm. you know, feeling bad or whatever. No. If things happen, okay.
Yeah.
Good.
You know, maybe what you should do when you display these?
Mm-hmm.
Get like print out a picture of another building on a paper and then put it next to it and then just put coming soon
next
year or next time. So they don't feel bad, like, hey, what about my building?
Yeah, wait a minute.
You're like, oh, it's right here.
Come actually here. There's a few more buildings that I wanted to do.
The Cholos? Was that one of them?
The Cholos was one of them, and the other one was the building with the
that's like yellow.
Yeah, the three colors, green and red and yellow. What was the name of that?
There's another. It's another building. You're right.
Yeah.
That's a body shop.
Yes.
They do a lot of the Mercs, right?
Yes.
I see a lot of beautiful Mercs uh-huh. in front of that place.
Yeah, that building is pretty nice.
Yeah, man. If anybody remembers the name, please email us. scalewriters@gmail.
Right.
Or contact@scalewriters.com. Mm. No, that's cool. Are you going to keep us up to date on your Instagram?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. With the stories, the cheers.
Yeah. Everything. You guys are going to see us every day.
That's cool.
Posting stuff.
Are you going to take the cars with you, like, throughout the journey? Or even when you go to, like, the other car show?
You know.
I know you guys are going to, like, display any stuff there, but, like, just to maybe show to anybody that you might meet up with.
No, well, that's a show that I never been there before. It's called Low Magazine is the one that is throwing that show, and it's a week before.
Okay.
But a lot of lowriders are going in there. Even the owner of the Paradise Roads are going also. So it's more like a lowrider car show.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to see something different than Moon Eyes, kind of like the way Classic Legends was back then.
Mm-hmm.
But this is in another city that I never been before. So that's going to be a good experience.
Yeah.
Be there.
Man, that's cool. And you already got everything covered, like your tickets, as far as like transportation, the train.
Yes.
You can get that out there.
It's all covered.
Yeah.
Everything's paid already.
Mm-hmm.
Just to make sure that we just
jump on the plane.
Fly away.
The flyaway, oh, yeah.
And then take us to
LAX. I remember the flyaway.
And then
I remember being like, oh, we're already here, LAX? No, we're not. You got to go on the flyaway.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, damn, Van Nuys.
Yeah, next thing you know, we're going to be back, and we're just going to talk about all the stuff that we did.
Hey, what happened? Oh, you didn't see my Instagram?
You didn't see it?
You go check it out. Go give me a like. go see it first, and then I'll tell you what happened.
Pretty much.
That's so cool. Man, well, I hope you guys have a great time out there. I mean, I'm sure you will.
Mm-hmm.
Please come back with lots of, like,
tools,
stories.
I'm going to FaceTime you, like, hey, what do you think about this? And you're going to be like,
look
where
I'm at.
Buy it.
Check it out.
Yeah. Buy it.
Nah, that's so cool. Any words of inspiration for people out there that are planning on a trip like this in their life to go out? Should they do it?
I recommend at least in one time on their lifetime to go over there, mm-hmm. because I think it helps. It helps you. You think different because you see a different culture, the way they live. And mm-hmm. I always come back with, you know, I always come back as a better person.
Yeah.
And when I say better person is because I see that culture, that how rich they are in regards, you know, the way they express and the way they do things, it's amazing. And when I come back, I bring a piece of that, mm-hmm. and I start using it in my life. And if that's a positive thing for me, then, you know,
yeah,
I do it.
I recently spoke with Yosuke,
mm-hmm.
and I was telling him, like, hey, are you going to go to the show? And he's like, yeah, of course. Like, I'm going to be there, you know, I'm looking mm-hmm. forward to it. And he was asking me, are you going? And I was telling him, no, unfortunately, I'm not. And then we were just, you know, I was just talking to him because I was like, yo, like, is there a kit you're looking for to, you know, to yeah. send out with you guys over there? And, you know, he was happy and all, but he was more like, man, I'm just super excited, like, to check out the presentation. He was saying the masterpieces presentation. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Oh, wow.
To see. And he's like, I wish you would come, you know, as well. He's like, I'm looking forward to seeing and meeting, you know, mm-hmm. the guys and everything. So I know, like, and he, you know, he's going to be in for a treat, like, seeing all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to look cool, like, even him bringing his cars and setting them up with you guys there.
Yep, he said that. And also the owner of Paradise Road, he's going to bring three of his models on the collection.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to bring him and put him on the display also.
Dang. And then Yoshiki, too. He's going to trip out.
Yeah, well, those models are from him. So it's something that he did for, you know, the owner of Paradise Road.
Some replicas, like a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. Well, that's awesome. I hope, I wish, and that you guys have, you know, everything goes cool. We get you back over here. And then later we do like a follow-up to see mm-hmm. how everything went.
Yeah.
You know, like always, send me some vids.
Yep.
Share with the people.
I will.
Out there. And then for those listening as well, if you guys are going to be at NNL West, you had mentioned you're planning on presenting these pieces out there as well.
Correct. So, that's the plan.
So for those that are on the fence, not knowing if you're going to go or not, you know, please go. Check it out, and this is something you're going to be able to see in person.
Right.
Sweet. And your Instagram, Armando, is at ArmandoFlores1032.
ArmandoFlores1032.
Sweet. And that's where you guys can check him out there to keep up to date with what he's going to be doing, his adventures out there in Japan.
Yes. So,
hell yeah, Armando. Thank you, Armando.
Okay.
It was a great, great time hanging out with you guys and doing the show. This was episode 99. And hey, we'll see each other again.
And I want to congratulate you because, you're at 100, almost there.
We're getting there.
And, thank you. Is a lot of work, a lot of work.
Oh,
it was, I know it wasn't easy, but you know, congrats on that.
No, thank you. I mean, thank you too, though, for helping me. I mean, there's a lot of interviews and people I couldn't get to.
Mm-hmm.
I know you know, you have a relationship with them throughout the years. And I know if I would have reached out, I mean, I'm sure they would have been humbled enough to be yes or no, you know,
mm-hmm.
but I feel like you played a big role in helping me to get these interviews as well from a lot of the guests that were on. So,
no problem. Thank you.
Thank you. You're part of this journey too.
Thanks. So,
hell yeah. Well, thank you guys for listening. That was episode number 99, 65 Lokes, your host, checking out, and we'll be back with another episode next week. All right. Peace.